we're joined by Mike Giardi of Comcast SportsNet New England. Mike, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, Rich.
Well, let's talk a little Patriots to kick things off here, and tell us what the Danny Amendola contract restructuring will allow the Patriots to do.
Well, in theory, it frees up a lot of money, around about $4.5 million to apply that to, I don't know, any one of a number of potential free agents that you got coming up, be it Dante Hightower or Malcolm Butler's restricted free agent. Logan Ryan's coming up on the end of his deal as well. Jamie Collins. I mean, there's a whole bunch of guys that need to be taken care of, and you would assume they're going to try to take care of as many as possible. And this is an incredible deal for the Patriots. I said it at the time before we even really necessarily knew how dramatic the pay cut was, because he's their second-best receiver right now in terms of actual wide receiver. You know, who knows how Chris Hogan shakes out, how some of these younger kids develop. But right now, there are two trusted wide receivers. One's name is Julian Edelman, the other is Danny Amendola.
It's early still, but what are a couple of key positional battles that you see developing?
I look at just the interior, the offensive line, the guards. I mean, they stocked up last year in the draft with Mason and Jackson, and both those guys started over double-digit games for each one of them. You trade for Jonathan Cooper as part of the Chandler Jones deal. He's a top 10 pick who hasn't quite lived up to that potential. You draft Joe Tooney, who's, you know, Dante Scarnecchia said to me, he's playing inside. So, you know, I think we thought when that pick was made, he was going to be a kind of a swing tackle, but instead they insist they see him as an inside player. So, and then you have Josh Klein, who gave a contract extension last year. So I think there's a lot of bodies for not a lot of spots. And I, you know, look from a competition perspective, that's something that they'll enjoy. I also look at the cornerback position as an area of, I thought it was a need for them going in. I thought it was one of their primary needs. They drafted Cyrus Jones with their first pick, which happened to be 60 overall in the second round. And then they signed three guys as undrafted free agents. And look, Malcolm Butler's, they don't come around often, but I think just the mere fact that they brought in three different bodies was an indication that, as they should be, not happy with the way that position played out beyond their starters. And Butler and Ryan were outstanding last year. Neither one of them missed a game. That's, you know, unusual in this league. And I think they looked at it. We were, you know, they're throwing guys off the street basically into the game plan in any given week, and they didn't want to do that again. So get some guys in here. Maybe one of those undrafted free agent guys catches their eye. And, you know, the belief is obviously that Jones will come in and help them, certainly on special teams, but I think they're hoping as a corner right away as well.
Mike, there's not a lot of tape on him other than preseason work, but as a guy that's been around the team that gets to see him in practice, what's your level of confidence in Jimmy Garoppolo?
It's very high. I think the leap that he took last year, and you saw it in the preseason, in particular that Saints game, and look, I get they're not playing the elaborate defenses and schemes and things of that nature, but then you also have to remember who's playing in front of you. Some of the guys you're throwing to aren't even, you know, they're not on NFL rosters and never will be. And the release, the decision-making was at a hyper speed, and that's how they want to run that offense. And you talk to guys around the building, players that have to go up against them every day. You know, they pay off the record that he's good. I'm not even like, you're not sticking a microphone in front of their face and saying, tell me about one of your teammates. Of course they're going to say, you know, 99 out of 100 times, you say, oh, yeah, he's great. It's when you're talking to them away from camera and they're still telling you, man, he's really good, that it sort of opens your eyes as to what they believe the ceiling is. And, look, he's going to be tested for sure if he has to play those first four games, because that schedule is not easy. And, I mean, can't think of a more difficult scenario than open up on Sunday night in Arizona against a very good Cardinals team. So we're going to find out a lot about him very quickly, I think, in the course of the season.
Mike Giardi, CSNNE, with us here on Downtown. Well, Jacoby Brissett comes with the endorsement of Bill Parcells, among others. Is his role something beyond being the backup in those first four games of the season? Is he a guy that maybe has a brighter future with the Patriots than Garoppolo?
Well, if you look at it from a timetable standpoint, I think a lot of people, I joke that around these parts, people think Brady's going to play forever. Of course, Brady thinks he's going to play forever, too. He'll turn 39 once training camp starts. You know, I think the very first week of training camp, August the 3rd, I believe, is his birthday. He turns 39. If you look at the history of guys at that age, and in particular at 40, there's one quarterback that ever put up legit numbers at 40, and that was Brett Favre. Now, we know the sort of devotion Brady has to the game. We know the length in which he has gone to take care of his body. But you have to prepare. I thought the Garoppolo pick was smart at the time. I still think it's smart. It's the most important position in the league, and they're hard to find good ones. They're hard to develop because of the systems that are coming out of in college. And I think Brissett is just sort of that next line. I figured they would draft a quarterback. I didn't think it'd be that high. But as you mentioned, it comes with ringing endorsements from Parcells about who he is as a person, Charlie Weiss as well. And now he's going to be force-fed into a very difficult offense, and we'll see how he fares. But I think in a perfect world, he settles in as the number three, the number two for the first 4 weeks of the season, and if all goes well, he doesn't have to see the field. I think the other option they have here, too, is if the kid shows by mid-August that this is just a little too much for him, you can always sign some Matt Flynn type off the street and have him be the backup for 4 weeks while you do whatever it is that you want to do with Brissett, however you want to handle that. Whether he comes up with a phantom injury or I don't know what, but that's always a possibility as well. So, they'll push him. They're going to push him hard. They're going to give him a lot of information and see how quickly he digests it. And as Garoppolo will tell you, that's one of the harder parts about coming in here. The volume of information that is thrown at you on a daily basis is pretty outrageous.
Let's jump over to Yaki Way and talk a little bit of Red Sox, Mike. I know that baseball is one of the sports that numbers end up bearing themselves out over the course of season to season, but where do you sit on David Price right now? Are you nervous at all that he's not going to pull out of it?
Yeah, I'm really curious to see how this mechanical adjustment that the flaw that was spotted by Dustin Pedroia, of all people, how that plays out in his next start here later in the week, because, a little bit up and down at the beginning, and you can say to yourself, well, it's all right. Sometimes historically April's not been his best month, and having a problem with a little bit of velocity, that can be a cold thing as well, and adjusting to a new market, et cetera, et cetera. But to have back-to-back stinkers like that against the Yankees in particular, obviously the one in Yankee Stadium, and then to hear him talk and feels like he's searching a little bit, and it's a huge adjustment to make. From go from Toronto, Tampa Bay, and even Detroit, where they're passionate about baseball, but it's not Fenway, it's not Boston. And then you throw the $217 million on top of it, and that's just good buddy Rod Bradford came up with a great. I talked to John Lester when he was in Chicago last week, and Lester's like, "Look, man, all last year, his first year with Chicago, if you remember, he wasn't all that. He wasn't even close to being what he's been." He said, I tried to live up to the number. Every time I went out there, I was trying to live up to the $155 million. He's like, that was the number I was wearing on my back, not my jersey number. And while Price has said all the right things and said it doesn't affect him, I don't know how it doesn't. I mean, that's the largest contract ever given to a pitcher. I mean, it's huge. So I'm really curious to see how he deals with it going forward.
Has the Red Sox play saved John Farrell's job, at least for the immediate future?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. And there was a little stretch even early on where he made some really questionable decisions where you're like, what is he doing? He's not really known as a great in-game manager. It's kind of all the other intangibles that he brings to the table. But when you start maybe costing your team games as an in-game manager and the heat is on you anyway for a variety of different reasons, I thought he was on the edge there. But they have an offense that is relentless, and I think has the potential to be relentless for all 162. If you can just get a little bit better pitching and get some better pitching from the guys that you expected it from, and in particular Price, then, I think not only is he going to survive this stretch, but I have a feeling he's going to end up saving his job at least for a year.
Mike Giardi, Comcast Sportsnet New England. By the way, Mike, you do such a great job on the radio on the weekends. Not that you need more work, but they got to find you more time on the radio.
I appreciate that. It's a lot of fun doing it, with 2 hours with Chris. We did the NFL Sunday, Chris Price, and then bounce over with Bradford. They're two different kind of personalities. Bradford's a little, crazy, and it's good. It's good flow. It's a a nice way to break up a Sunday morning.
Well, we always appreciate you making time with us, Mike Girardi. Thanks as always, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
Thanks, Rich.